All right, let's look here at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful who? Abraham. Are you of faith?
Yes.
Praise God. Well, you're blessed with faithful Abraham. Say blessed. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Now, we are talking about the word of the kingdom, or we're talking about living in the supernatural. And we got in this area called the word of the kingdom. And I think I want to turn a little bit and call this, I'm still playing with the title of that. I want to call it Kingdom Families. You know, something. Are you, that's good? Okay, that's good. I tell you. Okay. Word of the kingdom is what we call it, but I'm coming with something about the family here, because I can feel it bubbling up. Okay, now, we covered some foundation last time. We talked about the supernatural. And we're talking about that as we deal with this idea of the family. And what I shared with you is that it's interesting how I've heard marriage and the family taught, and thank God for it. But I just always felt that, you know, the full gospel concerning marriage seemingly hadn't been preached like I thought it should have been preached. Now, I know I'm probably a particular person, but this is me now. And I said it should be taught from a kingdom perspective. And when you're talking about the kingdom of God, you're talking about Jesus, you know, bringing us to another level of living. Kingdom of God has to do with the supernatural. And what has happened, we've heard the gospel of salvation, which we got to be born again, must be born again. That's a part of it. But that's not all of it. That once you're born again in here, for the most part, I'm not teaching you or teaching or preaching about the gospel of salvation here. I'm preaching you about the gospel of the kingdom, because you're already saved. Now, there are some people in here that need to be saved. Thank God for that. But for the most part, what you need now is you need knowledge of how to grow up and how to be all that God has called you to be. Say amen to that. And I think this gospel of kingdom peace has not been preached. And when I say that, I mean people have not preached it from a kingdom perspective. You know, they've not preached the marriage from a kingdom perspective. They preached pretty much this from a gospel of salvation perspective. So therefore, a lot of the light that I think was needed had not come. And that's what you see me doing a little bit with now, that we've got to get some new light on this subject, because we are winners. We win not one time, every time. There's a Bible verse. Put it up on the board, please. There's a Bible verse in 1 Corinthians and chapter 10 and verse 13. And he said, there's no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, tested, or tried above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I read the scripture said, he always causes me to try. See? And I'm saying that if the kingdom hasn't been preached, part of this side, people have been missing, because they haven't applied the supernatural to it. They talk about, you know, go to a marriage counselor and so forth. Well, they know some stuff. But you can learn some stuff. You can go to the world and they know some stuff. I mean, they've read it. They've read the literature on marriage and all this and through experimentation and so forth and all like that. But what I'm saying is this, that when that famine was about to hit Egypt, the intellect was not enough. Am I right about it? I'm talking about supernatural. And I started talking about the wisdom of God last time and how we have to employ the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is different. The wisdom of God in Joshua chapter 6, God said, this is the way you're going to take Jericho. I want you to get everybody and every soldier and march around it one time every day for 7 days. 6 days. And then the seventh day, march around it seven times, I think is what it said. Then after you finish, I want you to blow a horn. Then after the horn sounds, I just want everybody to start shouting. Now suppose he told you, this is the way I'm gonna have you fix your marriage. I want you to march around your husband's bed for 3 days, two times a day. Say amen to this. That's the wisdom of God. The first thing you say is, how is this gonna work? Well, now I ain't heard none of that in marriage counseling. I'm heard any of that. The reason why I'm heard it, because they're not dealing with the kingdom. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to or what? Folks, God has ways of getting you things that you don't have any way of getting. And there are some things out here that we need the supernatural miracle working power of God to overcome it. But that hadn't been preached. Well, I told you when my situation was and the enemy's trying to talk me out of my marriage 6 months after I got married, man, I said, okay, now I do this, now, you know. Well, God told me, said, get this little book. He said, read this prayer. And I started reading the prayer and it was about, you know, my wife and so forth because, you know, I don't have any problem. And, come on now, help me, man. Help me out now. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm reading it. My wife's a virtuous woman, always does me good as long as there's life within her. Now, I just cut the roast and it wouldn't hardly cut. You know, in my mind. It probably did, but I'm just saying I'm criticizing. See? But God wants to use me as a transition figure. He wants to use me to break the cycle of divorce in my family line. And so as I kept doing that, then the first thing that started changing was me. Because I had an image of that happening to me. And I took it on through communication. Well, you got two kinds of communication, verbal and nonverbal, transported itself inside of me. Well, that's where Babylon wants you, because Babylon now can just push this button and make you get mad at this and then emotional about that and, you know, and so forth and so on. Next thing you know, I'm out. Well, where's the supernatural? We never did try that. We just went and got a lawyer. And so what I'm saying is there's another way to handle your situation. If you need a miracle to get healed. Well, the doctor saying nothing we can do about this. I said, okay, why don't you come to church? Why don't you call for the elder? Why don't he anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and bend any sins, you'll be forgiven. Yes. Got what I'm saying? Yes. Now, if that be the case, and God will do that for a healing and get a miracle in your life, Why can't he do a miracle in your money? I'm talking about you tried every bank you have tried and every payday store you can go to. Say amen. And you done tapped out. You don't have any more and you don't know what to do. Well, why don't you come get this word? Because God can get you out overnight. Well, if he can heal you, well, I'm feeling heat in my hand. Somebody getting healed in here tonight. If he can heal you in that, and something that the doctor said you can't get over, or he can get you money where you got no credit and you just out there on Front Street, why can't he get a miracle in your marriage? I tell you why, because it hadn't been preached. How much of the church is preaching on miracles? Man, you go in there, you hear a song, a sermon about you know, going up the rough side of the mountain and trudging through the snow and through the cotton field, and pretty soon you'll get there, but just hold on and don't let go. By and by. Man, you done heard enough. That's so much unbelief. You walk out of there. Oh, thank God. Thank God I'm alive. Thank God I'm alive. That's not the idea, folks. The idea is you're supposed to live like heaven on earth. No toil. No down days. Come on now. Joy all the time. What did I do? I began to talk about some of those things. Began to talk about the supernatural approach to marriage problems. Yeah. Approach them supernaturally. Just don't understand. So first of all, we found out that a miracle, a marriage is a miracle.
It is.
It's a miracle when you can take two and put them together and make them one.
Yeah. You're right about that.
You got two folks. You got the male and the female. They're both men. He's a male man. She's a female man. She's a male. She's a male with a womb. Because God needed a receiver for the sender. Say amen to that. And marriage is a covenant. The covenant is two people becoming one, making covenant with one another, and it's a blood covenant.
Yes.
That's why when the marriage is taking place and the man meets the woman, that's why the virginity is broken.
Amen.
When they consummate the deal.
Amen.
When they consummate the deal and the virginity is broken, that's when blood flows.
Yes.
And blood flows because that's a covenant.
Yes.
Well, I lost that long time. Okay, fine. Believe God that you reset. No, didn't he say with God all things are possible? You better come on. That's why she changes her last name. The reason why that happens is because the first thing when God made covenant with Abraham, he changed his name. She takes on the name, the last name of the male. Now society is trying to do all kinds of stuff with that. Why? Because Babylon's trying to get God out of your marriage. But I come to tell you that he's coming back in. And he's coming to take over. Praise God. Amen. All right, so we talked about supernatural. And I put some things down here that if you're talking about the supernatural marriage, then you need to consider some things. One, that if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's found over there in Psalm chapter 11, verse 3. That God wants a foundation in your marriage. And the foundation of the family is the man. The foundation of society is not the family. The foundation of society is the man. And that's why you got to get the man right. Because as the man goes, society goes. A lot of times men send their wives to church. And they stay home, look at the Bears. Come on. They're probably coming on in here now because they okay. But they look at Bears. Now I just we're praying for them. But God went to the ground first and formed a man. Now forming, I'll go over that next time, forming a man, forming the woman, those are two different Hebrew words because one has to do with delicacy, that he formed her a little bit differently. The translation is that he built her. He formed her. That's why you see men say, boy, she sure is built, ain't she? And that's where that come from. So now, also, now, can I talk? Can I say all of this? Now, this God made man first, and it wasn't that he's more important. It was what his assignment and responsibility was. He was to be the foundation. See, he was to be the stabilizing force for the family. And so you can see that one of the things that happens when the male is present is there's a sense of security. Say amen to that. Now, because of Babylon, he's trying to switch this thing all around. And it said over in Hebrews, 1 Corinthians, let's go over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we read it before. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 1, it says, be ye followers of me, this is Paul talking, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them unto you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is who? Christ. Every male is looking for God. Don't ever forget that. Every male, whether he admits it or not, God made him that way. The head of every man is Christ. The head of the, underline the, woman is the man. See, no other man is the head of my wife. Okay? And the head of Christ is God. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, that headship doesn't have to do with bossing. It has to do with serving. That I'm going to make sure every need is met in their life. All you have to do is look at Christ in the church. We'll get there in Ephesians chapter 6, 5 and 6. Notice, Christ is the head of the church. What is he doing? Making sure that every need of his body is met. Got it? So, we have to understand that God built into a male man the need for his presence. And he can be stubborn. He can be, you know, cussing all the time, fighting, drinking, and so forth. But deep inside of him, he's looking for God. Don't ever forget that. So if my wife has some situation in her life that I just don't agree with, and she know it's right, it came out of the Word of God, whatever, she doesn't sit up and argue all day with me. She don't take the Bible and leave it open on the mantelpiece and leave it open to the scriptures here. That's so country. And I'm just telling you, I ain't got time to miss words with you. I got to tell you like it is. That don't work. That won't work for nobody. And But she prays. Why? Because Christ is my head. And she goes to my head. And the next thing you know, I'm in prayer. And the Lord speaking to me saying, buy your wife a new car for birthday. I said, get thee behind me, who is this? And let me tell you, when he first told me that, now I understand, this is when I'm getting to know how God is and what he thinks about this woman that I got. You know, the woman he gave me. And I said, okay. So I kind of ignored it, played it off. And then he came back in prayer again. Why don't you buy your wife a new car for her birthday? Man, now birthdays, I bought gifts for birthdays before. You know, like this here. And I mean, bought her some things, bought her a little jewelry, so forth. Man, this is on another level. He's trying to break me out of this thing and help me get the right understanding of how precious his daughter is. Women, can I get an amen somewhere in the house? So I'm thinking, I'm still trying to deal with this. So I'm thinking, you know, focus. You know, something small but nice. You can get around in it. And I said, baby, I said, came to her. I'm trying this thing. I said, what do you want for your birthday? She said, oh, goody. I said, what? She said, I want a car. I said, what kind? You know, I'm trying to keep my love walk in this thing. She said, oh, I want that Lexus truck. See, God's showing me where my heart is. When you think about what he thinks about you, he asks you, what do you want? Christ and the church. Husband and wife. Man. So, okay. We go down there to the dealer. I understand. I'm going, but I got an attitude. She knows all that. So I went down there, pulled up, and the guy's glad to see you. You know they're glad to see you. And yes, and so. Now, I'm not pushing that car because she has another type now. But so I'm not pushing cars here. So amen. Just get me right. Okay, get me right. Amen. Okay, she was saying she wanted that at that time. So we got there, and the guy said, yeah, we got this one. Why don't you just test drive it? And let me put a license plate on the back, and you just take it on around. And, sir, Mr. Winston, you can sit right over here. I'm in the passenger seat. And I think I just hit the button, just leaned it back. You know, I just. So we went on around and so forth, came back, said, how you like it? She said, oh, yeah, I do it. He said, well, anything else you want? And she said, yeah, I want TV, I want food. Man, this is working me now, boy. I want you to see something here. See, I'm thinking, God is giving me an idea of the precious gift that he's given me. and how precious she is. See, if you know how precious she is, you won't even talk hard to her. Because she's precious, man. She's your queen. I know I'm talking to the men now. But see, we can't go hard, okay? Most of us came from men type things, you know, where we ain't nobody finer than us. You know what I mean by that? So anyway, we got there and got the car, and then how are we gonna pay for it? She said, you're gonna pay cash, and you went to the bank and got some money, cash. And then went down there, and the guy said, okay, how are you gonna pay for it? I said, we're gonna pay cash. She said, well, write the check out for this amount. I said, no, sir, we can't write a check out. He said, that you say cash, didn't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, how are you gonna pay cash? I said, see that brown sack that she's got right there? He said, oh my Lord. Pull all the windows down. Okay, now, let me get back to this here. What I told you is, I told you that because you're both under a covenant, there's no respecter of persons. That God said, touch not my anointed. Come on, help me. And do my prophets no harm. So now, here's the deal. I said that Satan has no right to touch you or your wife. Watch this. Or your children. No right, because you're under covenant. Now understand, he's a thief. So he'll try to get away with whatever he can get away with. But I want to show you something. Turn to John chapter 10, please. I'm going to have to move pretty quickly here. John chapter 10. Are y'all with me so far? Now, we're going to talk about the difference between women and men and so forth and so on. And just to let you know, after I preached that on last Sunday, Monday morning, I took my wife out for breakfast and so forth. So I'm a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Said this, the thief, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to what? Destroy. But I am come that they might have what? Life. Keep going. And that they might have it how? More abundantly. Here's one I want you to write down. There is a wall of separation between the blessing and the curse. There is a wall of separation between the blessing and the curse. Now, to show you that, I'd like you to go over with me to Ecclesiastes and chapter 9. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, this is when the children of Israel were in Egypt in bondage, but now God is about to deliver them. And look what it says here in verse 4. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. There is a wall of separation between the blessing and the curse. There's a wall. You are blessed with blessed Abraham. Faithful Abraham. You are blessed, not cursed. Not cursed. So if you want to look, what I'm saying is when the devastation came in Egypt, it couldn't come through that wall. They were in the same location, but it couldn't come on them because it can't penetrate that wall. There's a wall of blessing on you right now. Now, look what happened. Glory to God. where was I about to take you? Over here, if you look at, just a minute. I wanted to show you one more scripture before I got to this other one. Let's go to, oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Come on, Lord. Re-ke-she. Oh, Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm having to move real quick now, so please come on with me. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And look what it says here in verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you what? Life, come on, and death, keep going, blessing and what? Cursing. Therefore, what? Choose life, that both you and your seed may live. Let's look at the curse, if you will. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, please. You're right there. And look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 regarding your marriage. Look at verse 30. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. That's a curse. Let's go down to verse 32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto other people in thy eyes, and shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all the labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. In other words, you're going to spend half your money on lawyers' fees, and it's going to eat your money alive. And come on down to verse 41. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into what? Captivity. Go on drugs. That's a curse. And there is a wall of separation in between the blessing and the curse, and you are not on the curse side, you are on the blessing. Now let's look at the blessing and look how the blessing looks. Let's go over to Psalms, if you will, and let's go over to Psalms 1, glory to God, hallelujah. Psalms 127, Psalm 127. They should have it up there and already up there. Psalm 127. And look at Psalm 127. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep a city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Look at verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. In other words, you're supposed to be directing your children the way they're supposed to go. Verse 5. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. And they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gate. I'm talking about a bunch of kids running around the house. Now, I'm still getting revelation on that, but it's a bunch of kids running around the house. Look at Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Fear the Lord means keep his commandments, because this is not a democracy. This is a theocracy. That walketh in his way, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hand. In other words, somebody else ain't gonna take your money. Happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with you. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. Come on now. By the side of the house. Thy children like what? Olive plants round about the table. I'm talking about you'll enjoy yourself with your kids. Come on, with your wife. Say amen to that. And what I showed you is that people, men who try to abuse their wives, you know, I just thought about that thing after I got home, got to thinking about it. You know, I remember one time where this guy called and his wife was beating him. She was, you know, kind of weightlifter or something. But anyway, so in this here, this situation where abuse, physical abuse was taking place. Now, I showed you where Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Didn't I tell you that? And in the lion's den, do y'all remember what I told you last time? And the lions wouldn't eat Daniel. Why? Because of the covenant that he had with God. Touch not my who? Anointed, and do my who? Prophets no harm. Couldn't even touch it. But then I showed you, because I said, let's go deeper. And I took you back over to Genesis 20. Let's go back over there one more time. Glory to God, I got to whip through this. Genesis 20. You're going to get something out of this. Because I'm taking you back to the supernatural. I said I'm taking you back to the supernatural. Every marriage in this house is going to be a marriage made in heaven. Every marriage, I said it is right now. I'm calling it in right now in Jesus' name. Say amen to that. Y'all going to be like teenagers again on the phone. You know how you be on the phone for a long time and you don't even say nothing. You just hold the phone. Nobody see it. I was there. You know what I mean? Just hold the phone. And 5 minutes later said, hi. Hi. Okay, but anyway, look what it says here. I'm talking about, I'm going to take you back. I'm going to let you have some fun with this thing. You're going to get some pleasure out of your marriage. Both enjoy yourself. I'm talking about those that are married. If this is your choice and so forth. But I'm talking about those people who might have had problems in the past. You're not going to have any problems anymore. We're going to fix this thing. I said, we're going to fix it. We're going to fix it first in the spirit. Then it's going to drop down in your heart. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 20. This is when the king took Abram's wife into his palace. Verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said, behold, you are but a dead man. For the woman thou hast taken, she is another man's wife. My wife and I were out and somebody texted her and then sent her this, this testimony. And this is what they said. They said, you know, it's amazing Pastor Winston preached on that because this kind of thing happened to my mom and dad. He said that dad apparently was, kind of established in the society and so forth, but he kind of abused or had some abusive things towards his wife and so forth. And then he said that his grandfather was also praying for his dad because his dad was sending his mother away or something like that. Mom, dad had to inform him that he was sending his daughter. Yeah, he said, I'm sending your daughter back home because I guess he didn't want to live with anymore. And so forth. And then his grandfather started to pray. And he said, but my mother already had been praying for my dad's salvation because he's stubborn and mean ways. That night, my father said that he had a dream where God showed him hell. And that if he continued to treat my mother this way, he was treating her, that he was going to die and go to hell. He specifically informed my dad that he had no more chances. My father woke up sweating and frightened. He woke my mother up and asked her to give him a Kleenex. My mother said she thought, oh, here he goes again, waking me up in the middle of the night and starting to mistreat me again. My dad kept his word. He loved my mother so much after that and boasted of how much he loved her everywhere he went. He bragged about her, how he was never sick because she prayed for him and he was healed every time. She constantly reminded him that God healed him, not her, and he was faithful to her and could not stop talking about her, about his love for her. He supported her in ministry. I guess she had gone into ministry. My mom and dad were famous throughout the community and the church for having breakfast together every morning at the favorite restaurant, even up to 3 months before she went home to be with the Lord. At 80 years old, they would walk to the bus stop hand in hand and just sit and talk, and they would walk back home. He referred to her as my baby, and every day of their 60-year marriage after that dream, even though they had 8 babies of their own, glory to God, that they were happy, and my dad was talking and bragging on their marriage. And this, my dad changed the course of a generation and set a standard for his daughters. I love my dad. Now, what am I telling you? You got folks out here that need to preach this thing right. And I'm telling you right now that God has a way out. And the problem is that people have not relied on God to get them out. And I'm saying, he said that he's given you power over every work of the devil. If you don't know what to do, speak in tongues. And the Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 5, you can draw the counsel of God out of the well of wisdom. If you don't know what to do, get a promise that God promised you and meditate that promise until the wisdom of God breaks through. You've got the promises of God, you've got the word of God, you've got the angels of God, you've got the Holy Ghost of God, you've got fruit of the Spirit, gifts of God. I'm telling you, everything you got, God's got for you, and it doesn't make any difference. God can bring it alive. Turn to the last scripture found in Job chapter 14. Glory to God quickly. Job chapter 14, hallelujah. In verse 7, he said, for there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through a scent of water, it will bud and bring forth trees or branches like a plant. I'm here to tell you, it may look like your situation is dead, but I got good news for you. If we just pour in one drop of the water of the word, that word is guaranteed to bring it back alive again and make it sprout again like a green bay tree. There is hope in the word of God. Give God a praise for you, for this word. Now, what am I telling you? Don't listen to everything you hear. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You can be a transition person for your family. That enemy has been working the same trick in your family through generations. You can break that. You can be the one that said, it's not going to be in my family anymore. Say amen to that. If you're hearing God's spoken to your heart about being born again, we are in limited time, but we want to make sure that you get to know Jesus. All these miracle things, they don't happen unless you know him. You got to know him. In the world is